What's up? Welcome to episode 352 of the PS4 Blackcast. I am JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Messiah.
Hello.
And here we are. And, of course, GDC has been postponed because everybody pulled out of it.
Pull-out method doesn't work.
Well, it worked here. I mean, but, yeah, it was like, first it was Sony, then it was Facebook, and then a couple other people, and then Microsoft. And then it was just like, then Jason Schreier said he's not going to go. And I was like, I guess that's news. And then
Jason Schreier. Yeah, I'm not going to go. I'm personally not going to be there. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, and then it does suck because there was a couple people who did travel from like Ben Hansen from Minmax, formerly of Game Informer. Like he flew out because he was going to, you know, go to GDC. And of course, it got postponed. So now he's just in SF. And he's like, all right, well, anybody want to hang out? So. He's there.
Accidental vacation.
Right. I'm curious. I thought in one article it said it was going to be postponed into the summer. But then when I dug into a different article about it, I couldn't find the exact date of the postponement and what it was going to be. But there will be refunds for people who had hotel stay, and they will pay the cancellation fees and stuff. So at least they're helping out with that stuff. But
refunds for the hotel is in like their like GDC is paying for your hotel fees?
No, like typically when you cancel a hotel, like right.
Oh,
like,
just the cancellation part.
Yeah, it's the fee. Like it's always like a super the closer typically it's 24 hours is when that high fee cost is. But I guess some hotels could maybe have like if it's like a fancy hotel, maybe it's like, oh, you got like 3 days or something. But
okay, that makes way more sense than what I had interpreted as, because I was like, the hotel's going to pay for you to not show up. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, they're not going to do that. but yeah, so that will not be going on. So we'll see what happens going on in the future. But anyways, new releases this week. I didn't see any big ones. We still have all those deals, but they're going to end on the 3rd and the 5th. So hop on those. The Big in Japan, the Essential Picks, and then, of course, I saw Shadow of the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition 70% off, so you can pick that up for like $17.
Is that the one with multiplayer or without multiplayer?
Multiplayer was only in the first one.
Okay.
Yeah, Shadow of the Tomb Raider is the third one. So it was Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. But there's only multiplayer in. Although, one of them did have a co-op survival multiplayer. That could have been in the second one.
Or it was I like, ask only because of my trophy habits.
Oh, yeah, the
my
first...
unhealthy trophy habits.
Yeah, that's the only reason I didn't platinum the first game is because it had multiplayer trophies. I'm like, I'm not playing your multiplayer. But I got, like, every trophy, every single trophy. So I was like, that's good enough for me. I don't need the platinum. But yeah, a lot of deals. But again, they end on the 3rd, so probably by the time this gets posted. But yeah, let's go ahead and jump to the news. So PAX East, of course, is going on still, and there was some footage for Outriders shown during a PAX panel hosted by Square Enix and People Can Fly. They showed off some a world video and a guns and gameplay video. They're both up on YouTube. They're a couple minutes each. I haven't watched them yet. I definitely want to check them out because I want to see more of that the gunplay because, again, it's a third-person game. But I like everything I see for it, and it is coming out to PS4 and Xbox One, so it's not PS5 and Xbox Series X exclusive, or like next-gen exclusive. So it will be coming to current-gen as well. But yeah, definitely check this out if you're interested in that game. This week we also got a trailer for a new event for Apex Legends that'll be happening next week, starting on Tuesday. It's the System Override event. It's going to be 2 weeks long, and in this event, there's going to be, obviously, just like all the other events, a bunch of skins you can unlock, or you can just purchase some pretty nice skins. But then the new game mode they're introducing is called Deja Vu, where all the loot spawns in the same location every match. And every day, it's always the same flight path and the same circle. So it's like, if you land someplace and you like the loot that's there, you can land there every time, and you're like, okay, I'm going to get that gun I want, I'm going to get the attachments I want, the body shields, yada, yada.
That's gonna be a fucking nightmare.
It seems like a really cool idea. I like the idea. The same flight path is gonna be interesting. Like, it'd be nice if it was maybe the same circle, different flight path, but at least it's changing every day. And then after the first week, it'll be the same event, but on King's Canyon, which is, of course, the first map from Apex Legends. They're also introducing a new body shield. It's a Evo shield, which levels up as you do damage. So it starts out with only one shield cell versus the two, which is a normal, you know, level one body shield. And then it also goes, it surpasses the tier four. So it goes up to this red color. It doesn't get a fifth cell, but it has more, it's a stronger body piece. It doesn't necessarily make it better than the gold piece, because gold body pieces let you use items quicker, which is extremely good. But they did say that depending on player feedback, they may introduce this new body shield type into the game proper. But I'd imagine that would definitely change up the meta if it was in the regular game. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm definitely looking forward to this event. A lot of really cool skins. I'm definitely curious to try it out. We also got a trailer for Gearbox unveiling the new Borderlands 3 DLC titled Guns, Love, and Tentacles. It's the marriage of...
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's the marriage of Wainwright and Hammerlock. I guess they're getting married. Did they have a romance, like, after the main game in Borderlands 3? Like,
They had a romance in the main game.
They did? Why don't I remember that? I don't...
It was very... downplayed, but they had a romance in the main game, and it was basically like they downplayed the gay parts of it and played it more as like those two dudes from Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood when they're like really beefy going at each other. Sorry, that probably makes no sense. Zaya probably gets it. Yeah. The two
Armstrong
really buff dudes,
the two strong buff guys, or in the that gif.
They played it more like as the gif thing of Armstrong and the housewife's husband, to I'm blanking on all names right now.
I don't remember his name.
See, but housewife's husband fits. Okay, anyways. They downplayed it in the game, but it was there.
Yeah. Well, maybe I just missed it because I was playing co-op, so I had to deal with the fact that, okay, is my cousin running off to start the next quest?
Probably.
Did he do something that I should be there, like I want to experience? But anyways.
Also probably.
Yeah. But this comes out on the 26th of March, so it's going to be coming out soon. You can watch the teaser trailer for it. But yeah, there's going to be some Cthulhuan horrors, so that's where the tentacles comes from. I still haven't technically finished Borderlands 3. Like, we got right at the end, and then I forget what happened, but we just...
You haven't beat Borderlands 3 yet?
Yeah, we're like, we were right there. Obviously, we were playing a co-op, so... We got as far as we could at one point, and then it's like, all right, we'll play again tomorrow. And then I forget what happened. It's like we had a long downtime where we just couldn't, like, he had no time to play. And then when did Borderlands 3 come out again?
Is everything still nerfed to hell in Borderlands 3, or did they ever fix that back up?
I had no idea. I haven't really been paying attention to all the patch notes. Yeah, so that came out in September. So September 13th. So I guess by the time we would almost got there, because then October would have been Outer Worlds, and then after Outer that would have been Death Stranding. So either I got distracted by that because we took too long to finish it, but yeah, I just never finished. Like, again, we're right at the end. Like, we did the fight against both the main characters.
Sorry, they nerfed Flak even more.
Oh, okay, nice.
I debated coming back for even a hot minute.
Yeah, but I know it's beginning a lot of like DLC support and events and stuff like that. But yeah, I will finish probably just without my cousin. I'll just go in there and beat the game. But yeah, there's that. So look forward to it. There's also a tease from, oh my God, I'm blanking on the studio's name. It's not even in this article, but, the sequel to Man of Medan, for the Dark Pictures anthology. The next one's called Little Hope. I guess at the end of Man of Medan, there is a teaser for Little Hope at the end of the game. But they did a Twitter tease for it. So assuming it should be coming out, you know, because they want to do one game every year. So the last one came out in August. So they figured this game probably is going to come out in the summertime. But they're obviously ramping up to premiere the first reveal trailer for it. I still have to play Man of Medan. I have it on my PS4, of course.
You have a lot of games you got to play.
Yeah, well, that one, you know, it's a co-op, so I want to play a co-op. And you can, I believe, I don't remember if it was just a promo or if it's how it works in general, but they had this thing where, like, oh, if you have Man of Dan, you know, your buddy can play it with you for free. So I was like, oh, well, I guess, I was like, oh, maybe I could play with Isley. That guy never plays games with me anymore. But no, I was like, I did, because I can't play with my cousin because he's not going to play a scary game. But I was like, I could have gone through it single player at any point, but I kind of wanted to go through it co-op, but I don't know. I'll probably just do it single player.
There aren't enough good co-op games anymore, and I know that sounds like a weird statement to make, given that there's a lot of like games like Fortnite and things that are really popular. But like, I miss games that were just solidly co-op without having some other shtick to them.
He misses Army of Two.
Hey, those games were fun.
I didn't say they weren't. But they were like the main games that were always like, this is co-op. Typically every game is like, oh, it's a single player game, you just can play co-op, but
yeah,
you're just
that's what I mean. Like, I'd rather a co-op game that you can play single player, or like, I don't know, I need a better version of Destiny that's not being shit on by everyone right now.
He just wants the
I want Destiny 1 again. That's what I want.
The Prison Break game. Fuck the Oscars. A Way Out, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's strictly co-op. But yeah, then there is the games revealed for the PlayStation Plus for March. It's going to be Shadow of the Colossus, the remake, and then Sonic Forces. So if you haven't played the remake of Shadow of the Colossus or haven't played Shadow of the Colossus in general, go ahead and pick it up. It's a great looking game. I did play against a couple of the Colossi, but I never did go all the way through. I think when it came out, I forget what else came out with it, but I was like, I gotta pick it up because I like everything that Bluepoint does. I'm you know, I was thinking about them and like all the teasing they did and like tweets, you know, like during Halloween. It was like they're referencing like, you know, Metal Gear and Castlevania and all these games like that were referenced within their tweets, and people were like, what the hell are they making? I started wondering, like, since Shadow of the Colossus came out quite some time ago, imagine if they, because it's been a couple of years, because when, I gotta look this up now, Bluepoint Shadow of the Colossus, Bluepoint, because I think it was like 2017 or 2018, it might have been 2018, yeah, 2018, yes, I guess not too long ago. Yeah, it was February 2018. So at the start. So figure that would give them almost a full year in 2018 and then 2019 and let's say most of 2020. So almost 3 years. And I was thinking, like, man, how crazy would it be if they were big enough that if they did like a collection of HD remakes that launched on like PlayStation 5? Like, that'd be pretty dope. It's like, oh, here's
that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, like if they could, if they like, or just like, hey, would you guys be willing to remake these games? And maybe don't stress it and just like do one and then like, okay, we're good. We got it. Okay, now let's do the next one and just get however many you can, because obviously just don't announce it ahead of time. Just wait until you're done close to launch and be like, oh, hey, we remade Metal Gear 1 and we remade this other classic game and we remade this classic game. Like, that would be nuts. I don't know if that's gonna be the case, but that would be kind of cool if it was like a collection, the Bluepoint, you know, collection. Because I mean, they did Uncharted 1, 2, and 3, so it's like, now granted, those at least were on the same gen, and then they just put them all, like, I wonder how long it took them to do that, because they also used the Uncharted 2 engine in Uncharted 1, because the character models in Uncharted 1 in that collection are the Uncharted 2 versions. But the one thing that did bug me is, I believe in Uncharted 2, they used the Uncharted 3 Elena Fisher model, which I didn't like. I think that was my one issue with that, but I'd have to go back and look at it. But I know that Uncharted 1 definitely had the newer character models, so they looked better. But yeah, I wonder if, because if that didn't take them that long, and they're, granted, if you're remaking something from scratch, like, I'm curious, like, how long it actually took them to make Shadow of the Colossus, because now you're doing a PS2 game, and bring it over. Or because, like, when they did the Crash, they didn't do the Crash game, but, like, when they talked about making the Crash game, they had, like, all that, the wire work and all that stuff and all the level mesh of the actual games, and they just built up around it. So they had that wireframe blueprint. I wonder what they had for Shadow Colossus, and then what they would have for all these other games. I imagine if it's anything for PS1 or PS2, like, you probably could have something like if they did Metal Gear. I mean, at least you have two versions. You have the GameCube one. If you did that, if you took that, if that, you know, Silicon Knights code is out there somewhere, which is just the Metal Gear Solid 2 code, or if you had the wireframes from the original Metal Gear, but then would Konami let you do that? And yada yada. But
yeah, Konami.
But yeah, everybody's
Konami don't. They do nothing.
No, they don't. But I'm really curious what they are working on right now. That, I mean, it's could be interesting. But speaking of
Pachinko
Konami,
machines.
Hmm.
Pachinko machines.
Blue Point. They're doing HD remakes of Konami Pachinko machines.
Yeah. That's what I think Konami's working on. I thought that's what you meant. I was like, I wonder what Konami's working on.
I'm
like,
just curious what Blue Point's working on. No, yeah,
Konami's working on those.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll see. I'm assuming it'll be a PS5 thing, whatever Blue Point's working on. But yeah, speaking of Konami, I saw, not even Konami, just tangents related. I saw that there's some tease going on from Koji Pro on Twitter where. I don't have the article in front of me, which is really annoying me. The internet's speculating Silent Hills. I don't think that's the case.
No, I don't think so.
But, yeah, right.
Yeah, Konami is not going to go back on that.
I love that, but yeah, right.
Yeah, it's let me look at it. Yeah, people are thinking that this hint is that new thing. So basically, there was a tweet. From on the Kojima Productions Twitter account, where they're saying, you know, sorry for being silent, everybody's, I've been really busy. They didn't put the rest of his name. Now I don't remember the guy's name. I'm totally blanking out. I hate when they don't put it. Aki Saito, at Kojima Productions. He's a head of communications, and he was, had been quiet for a while. And then they did one tweet from the account, with that new, the new hire they had. I'm forgetting his name now. This is pretty recent to handle, I think, their social media stuff as well. But he's like, hi, all. You know, Aki is still alive, and he is still head of communications. He's in Japan. I'm in the UK. And then yada, yada. And then there's a tweet, a follow-up tweet from Aki saying, sorry to be silent, everyone. I've been really busy lately. I think I can say more about what we are going to. And then it just dot, dot, dot. And then if you zoom in on the picture, there's a notepad below his hand that says next week. But people, because he said silent, people are like, oh, that means Silent Hills.
For like, fuck's sake.
No, it doesn't. Stop it.
I love how people like can read into this shit so fucking well with like crazy, like not well in the sense of accurate. Just they will read into it to get whatever answer they want.
Yeah. It's like the conspiracy theories, like Half-Life 3 confirmed. But it's like when people, we've talked about it before, where someone would be like, oh, the author of this book, you know, his subtext here and this, like, this is what he's really talking about, you know, the gentrification and there's racism and this thing. And it's like, nah, I just wrote a book, man, about his, you know, thing. It's like, but it's that perception that everybody else gets out of it that you can't control and then it just goes wild. It's like that kind of thing. Oh, they said silent. It's like, it could just be a translation thing. Like, you know, like maybe that's just the direct translation of whatever Japanese word they were used for instead of being quiet. It's like, oh, I've just been silent, you know. You see that a lot sometimes with even Kojima when he tweets stuff where like the English, the sentence structure might not be perfect or he uses some words that were like, oh, it's kind of odd, but it's a thing that's obviously English isn't his primary language and it's only really secondary, and so who knows how much translation he's using to help bring over his point. So yeah, it's like, it just says silent. He's like, it would be different if he was like, sorry I've been so silent, I've been on a hill of work, and, you know, or something like that. Like, It's like they don't really
leaning into it,
right? Yeah, like that tongue in cheek, like, you know, they're going back to Blue Point, like just leaning into it. Yeah, there's been a lot of fog in the area, and there's a pyramid on this guy's head. No, I don't know, but it's like just going ridiculous with it.
But he announces it while wearing a pyramid head. I can't talk about what I'm working on, guys.
Yeah, it's like, oh, like if you had some statues or something in the background. Like, wow, look at it. It's like, I'm a big fan of Sean Bean. Oh, he was in Silent Hill. But, yeah, so, anyways, moving on. There will be a Predator Hunting Grounds demo, or trial weekend in March, rather, that was announced on earlier this week. So if you are interested in it, there will indeed be a demo. And it looks like, let's see here, the trial will become available for download through both PlayStation Store and the Epic Game Store at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time in North America on March 27th, and will be playable until an undisclosed time on the 29th. So over the course of that weekend, if you're interested in this game, you can go ahead and pick it up. I might go ahead and hop in on that because I like the idea. I mean, I like the sort of resurgence of these asynchronous. I said that because someone else in a podcast said that. Now it got burned in my head. But the asymmetrical gameplay of, you know, like, what's that one game?
Evolve.
Dead by Daylight, or not just like Evolve, but like the Jason one, but there's that one recently where it's like a bunch of monsters. I think it's Dead by Daylight and all the humans try to
survive. That's Dead by Daylight.
Yeah. You know, like that's really popular game. Yeah. But this one looks pretty interesting. So you can check that out later next month.
And I fucking love watching that game. Side note, during Halloween and stuff. It's such a Halloween appropriate game to watch and play.
Yeah. Let's see. And then we also had a report from Square Enix where they published basically saying how the delay of the FF7 remake won't impact the development or launch timeline of the next game in the series. They said, quote, well, you figure if it got delayed at the end, you figure you only have so many people on it that some of that team is probably working on the next bit already. Like, whatever, you know, if, I mean.
Sure, but counterpoint, if it was delayed because of some bug or something that they found, they will eventually have to fix that or patch that into the game they're working on right now.
It could, yeah, but it could just be like something where it was like they had to tighten up just some level or something. One part's not coming together, so they just delayed just a little bit. But you can still be in pre-production of the next one pretty early on, depending on how big the team is. But they did say, you know, quote, the next generation of consoles will have, we'll have backwards compatibility. So we plan for the time being to make our new titles available. Oh, this isn't even really, this is a totally different part. Like, they put the quote, this quote is like not, it's not even in relation to the initial part of it. That's because it's like he also commented on the development of next generation games, indicating that the publisher will likely focus on cross generation or backwards compatible titles for the time being. Okay, so this is in regards to just next generation backwards compatibility and if there'll be next gen exclusive stuff. And so then they're saying the next generation of consoles will have backwards compatibility, so we plan for the time being to make our new titles available for both current and next generation consoles. It will therefore be somewhat farther down the road that we release titles exclusively for the next gen console. So basically they're just saying, hey, everything we're gonna do is gonna be cross generation. So I'm assuming the rest of the Final Fantasy stuff. And unless they do like a new remake of something else or, you know, FF16, you know, then it will be on there. But they did say that the in the report, and there's a link to it on Twin Infinite, you can go, that there will be no delay to the other game. But yeah, I'm really curious how much more they're going to add to the Midgar section, how long it'll take, and then what they'll cut out overall in the game. Because I'm thinking about just all the little stuff that happens in between all the big beats of Final Fantasy VII and how they're going to like trim that down, if they're going to get rid of the overworld and just make it to where, like, okay, cutscene, we're in Calm. Okay, cutscene, we're in Junon. We're at Fort Condor.
Yeah, just like condensing it down.
Yeah, it was like, if there's no real, like, maybe just a fast travel map of, like, where you want to go, and you don't actually run on the overworld. Like, I'm really curious, because obviously that's some of the biggest stuff is just running in those random battles. I mean, that's the case for a lot of Final Fantasies. The biggest chunk is just all that random crap you have to deal with. But yeah, I'm it'll be really interesting to see how they do this, and if it'll still be just three games, will it be, you know, five games, who knows, like the Quantology, it'll be like a odd world. But yeah, we'll see. But speaking of demos, there'll also be a Resident Evil 3 remake demo will be coming out soon. Apparently it's less than six, we've got less weeks than 6 weeks obviously until the game comes out, and they did a Resident Evil 2 demo, so they'll obviously, they're going to do a Resident Evil 3 demo. It's on the way. They have more details coming soon. I'm wondering if they're going to do that same exact thing where it's the 1 hour demo or whatever it was for Resident Evil 2, or until you beat it, which is such a weird way to do a demo. I mean, it was really short anyways, but it was kind of odd, that one-shot demo. But there was some more gameplay. A lot of news came out of it this week. I think it was from, I don't know if it was from PAX, but it, basically a lot of news outlets were talking about Resident Evil 3 and how fun it is. And they did confirm that the gunpowder mechanic is still in the game, which I'm glad, because I had loved that from the original Resident Evil 3. And then
what's the gunpowder mechanic?
Basically, like, you could find three types of gunpowder, kind of like in, didn't they do gunpowder in Resident Evil 2? They brought it in there? Could have swore they did it in 2 as well. Where basically
it was in the remake, wasn't it?
Yeah, they brought the gunpowder mechanic in the remake, right?
I didn't play the remake.
Oh man.
Oh.
Why not?
I don't know.
It's so good.
I'm just now playing Outer Worlds. Yeah. Behind that shit.
You gotta get caught up. But basically, yeah, it was this mechanic that they brought into 2, the remake, but it was where, like, you can find different grades of gunpowder. So, like, there was gunpowder A, B, and C, and if, like, you combined A and A together, it gave you pistol rounds. If you did A and B, it gave you shotgun. I think B and B gave you magnum, and then it was like C mixed with A or B would give you different grenade rounds, and I think there's also SMG somewhere in there as well. Maybe C and C give you SMG. I'm not sure, but basically they brought the mechanic in the Resident Evil 2 remake, which was really nice. So it's like, if you there's the ammo scarcity, but you could find this gunpowder, and you'd be like, okay, do I prefer to make shotgun rounds or to make a couple handgun rounds? And so it kind of gave you that leeway where it's like, yeah, there is scarcity of resources, but now you can kind of use this extra resource to be like, well, I prefer using the shotgun or I prefer using the pistol, and just do it that way, which is really nice. But in the original Resident Evil 3, if you did one ammo type enough, you got an upgraded variant of it. So, like, I used the shotgun a ton in Resident Evil 3, and I made so much shotgun rounds that eventually it's like, okay, now you have, I think it was, like, flame shotgun rounds is what it was. It wasn't explosive. Basically, it was, like, it just shotgun rounds that do extra damage now. And I was like, it was a really cool idea. Like, basically, you're leveling up your ability to make this ammunition. But yeah, that'll still be in there, which is good, because, again, it wasn't 2. The dodge mechanic from the original Resident Evil 3 is in there as well, although it functions much better than it did in the original Resident Evil 3. Like, I never did it in RE3, ever, because it wasn't... like, imagine the timing in Dark Souls, like, to repose, and it's just, like, or parry, and it's just... It was, like, it's that small window. Like, it was even, like, smaller than that, and, like, the original... And plus, you had tank controls, so, like, if you didn't do it right, you could dodge into enemies and stuff like that. So it just wasn't that great. But it's refined in this. It kind of reminds me of the... Did you ever play the Tomb Raider 1 remake on PS2? Tomb Raider Anniversary?
Negative.
Oh. Well, they had a thing in there where, like... I think they also had it in the Tomb Raider Legends game that was Xbox exclusive, eventually came to PS2 later. Where you get, like, this adrenaline dodge where, like, right before, like, a tiger would attack you or something, you hit dodge and it goes in, like, the slow-mo, and your character, like, Laura's locked onto the head of the target, and then you, like, slow-mo fire a couple shots. And so this has it where if you time your dodge mechanic perfectly, basically it does that thing where... What is going on? Rana's getting abducted.
I started a fire.
Okay, now, the first sound was a fire truck. It didn't sound like a fire truck to me. I was like, is that like the alien siren or something? Like, what?
No, a ton of fire trucks and ambulances just drove past. I maybe Seattle is on fire. I don't know.
Uh-oh. I didn't start the fire.
There's a lot happening outside right now.
It's coronavirus.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the dodge mechanic in Resident Evil 3, if you do it perfectly, it'll kind of do a kind of slow-mo thing, and you can target your shots better on the zombies. But yeah, everybody's saying that the game that they played was they loved it. It's really good. It definitely feels more action-y. I mean, the original Resident Evil 3 was more action-y than 2 and 1. The other difference is that in this game, the knife is permanent, unlike the Resident Evil 2 remake. So you have your knife forever, which is nice. I'm so glad, because I hated losing the knife. And then I think they did get rid of the mechanic from the Resident Evil 2 make where if a zombie grabbed you, or anything grabbed you, you had a chance to, like, if you had a grenade equipped, you could shove the grenade in, like, the zombie's mouth, push him off, and then the grenade would go off, and it saved you. Or the knife. You could stab with the knife, but again, the knife only had so many uses. So, yeah, I think you could do it, like, twice. And you had to kill the zombie in order to take the knife out in Resident Evil 2 remake. But because of the dodge mechanic in 3, I think they got rid of that mechanic from 2, the 2 remake. Which is fine, because I'd rather have the dodge than... I always hated, you know, losing my grenades. I'm like, I didn't want to do that. But it was fine for, like, the speed run at the end of the game, like the bonus speed run thing they had, the challenge. Like, that's the only time you're like, okay, if I get grabbed, use it here, and just to get the hell out of there. But and then people also like the resistance mode. That's the, again, talking about, you know, 4v1. They said that was a lot of fun, especially being the dungeon master, essentially, was a lot of fun. That, of course, is not canon with the Resident Evil universe, but it could still be a really fun mode. But yeah, other than that, that's basically it for the news. Didn't see anything else new, especially since GDC, you know, was canceled. I did see that Kojima will be awarded at the BAFTAs in April, so hopefully those don't get canceled, because I want to hear his speech. Now, okay, it was the Writers Guild of America that got rid of the gaming section, right?
Sure.
Okay, well, I remember, like, there was a thing, it was like last year, or I believe it was, I think it was last year. Yeah, it was where, like, that was like Neil Druckmann and Corey Barlog, and everybody was like railing on him, like, like, why would you suddenly just drop this category? And I believe it was the WGAs, because when I saw that Kojima was getting the BAFTA award, I was like, didn't BAFTA get rid of the gaming stuff? And I was like, no, they still have the BAFTA. They're still good. It's the WGAs that got rid of it. Like, yeah, we don't care about video games anymore. I think it was a dumb thing where, like, that's what it was. We talked about it. It was because there wasn't enough members of the Writers Guild Association for them to want, in the gaming category specifically, for them to want to represent it. So it's like, oh, you're not with us, so enough of you are a part of this group, we're not going to represent you anymore.
So get, like, more people in the group. Isn't that the point? Like, the group starts, that you don't have 30,000 people in your group when it starts.
Yeah, I forget what the limit was, and like that number, or like if it's a, obviously those guilds probably like some big fees associated with them, but yeah, it was like, oh, you guys just don't have enough, so we're just gonna drop you. And they're like, wow, great, thanks. But yeah, I remember Neil Druckmann, everybody just tweeting about it, like. Because especially when it was going, I was like, wow, it would have been real fun to be there this year. Oh, well. Mm-hmm. But it's like, yeah, whatever. But yeah, that's basically for the news. I know there was some stuff from last week we missed on the last episode when I was done recording, but we don't need to get into those. And then just trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to. Oh, I did see a cool game. So it's not PlayStation related, but there was the at PAX, the Baldur's Gate 3 gameplay and opening cinematic trailers were shown. Opening cinematic was really cool. Didn't know what was going on. I was like, oh, there's a Soul Flare and weird Wrathicon eyeball worms things. But really cool cinematic. And the gameplay looks a lot like Divinity, but they have like D&D dice rolls in a lot of the decisions. So it looks like, obviously, it's coming to PC right now, but it'll, of course, come to consoles because Larian brought all their stuff over to consoles eventually. And we'll probably get some Baldur's Gate 3 Definitive Edition on PS5 and PS4. But yeah, it looks good. I mean, Larian's a great studio. The Divinity series is a fantastic CRPG series. So Baldur's Gate looks great. But then I saw a YouTuber, or Twitch streamer. He played a game that's in beta right now. I forget what it's called. I'd have to look it up. But you remember that game that came out on, I think it was on PS4. Might have been late PS3. I think it was called, was it Half Minute Hero? It was the one that had the mechanic where if you run through, and then if you died, you restart, but the ghost of your character was there, and the shots you took would still help you get through. Are you familiar with this game? Either of you?
I don't know that, like, ghost mechanic, but I know Half Minute Hero, like, the point of it was you die every 30 seconds, but you get stuff that helps you prolong it, I guess,
maybe,
or something
like
that. Maybe
it wasn't Half Minute Hero. It could be something.
So
Half Minute Hero was you get 30 seconds to beat a level, and you keep certain things. Like, if you make it back to reset time, you keep certain things. And it was your typical, like, roguelike where you get progression.
Yeah, it might not be Half Minute Hero, but it was a game around that time where it was, like, any game that came out, and essentially the idea was you'd run through, and if you get to, like, a boss, you know, they took up a large portion of the screen, you shoot at them. If you died, you come back, but the former version of yourself is still there, would help you, all the damage they do would stack with your damage, and then so forth, so you could kind of game it to where, oh, if I die enough, I can get so many clones to myself and just burn this level. But it was indie game. Interesting idea. But this game that's in beta on Steam is a 1v1 first-person shooter in an arena. And essentially, each round is 15 seconds. So you start off, like, Izzy's on one side, I'm on the other, and it's got, like, this arena. It's very paintball-style arena. And you choose what weapon you spawn with. And basically, we're trying to kill each other within that 15 seconds. So, like, we run, let's say I go left and he goes right, so we miss each other, and then we try to catch up. And then if none of us kills the other, after that 15 seconds, it goes back, time rewinds, we spawn again, but our initial path that we took, there's a clone of us that takes that same exact path as our first versions. And now our second versions, we know, okay, I went left and he went right, so you have a choice. I can either go after the clone version of Isley that went the other direction, or I can try to find the main version of him who's going to try to kill the other copy of me. And then after 15 seconds, it rewinds and goes into a third round. So there could potentially be two clones of you plus the version of you up. And the idea is you want to kill as many of the other person's either clones or themselves in a round to win that round. And it was like this, because it's only 15 seconds, it's this like split second. Okay, you know, he went here, I'll get a sniper. Okay, I could shoot that variant of him that, because he walked just basically straight across his platform, get him, and then... But then you can run into situations where you could inadvertently kill yourself, where I watched him, he picked a, I think he had the sniper rifle, and essentially he moved, he knew the other guy's clone was going to walk across this platform on the right side of the map. And so he went and lined up, but the previous version of him ran in front of him as he was taking the shot, and so he killed a version of himself, and he's like, no, I shot myself, So he lost that round, but a really cool idea. I was like, man, that'd be awesome to see some more of that, like, that mechanic in other games. Because it reminded me a lot of that game, that indie game that I never played, but I remember that was one of the big mechanics, was the previous clone of yourself. But to gamify it in a 1v1 situation was, like, pretty cool.
I foresee myself literally only killing myself. Whenever it's like a friendly fire situation... I cannot not hit my team. And when my team is just me now, yeah, that's going to be a bad time.
You're like, I'll take my first clone and just go hide in the corner under the box. And then my second one, hide in the one. And my third one, that's the one that goes Rambo. Because I won't hit the other one. And then use a grenade launcher and it bounces off some geometry and goes behind the box. Like, damn it! Why did I
How did I do that?
But yeah, it's on team. I forget what it's called. It was Northern Lion, sorry, that put up the video on YouTube. So if you're familiar with him, he put it up recently. You can check it out. He's got like a half-hour video and he plays like a couple rounds. But it looks... really interesting. Like, I could definitely see it being one of those, like, you know, $15, $20 games on PSN. Again, because it's just 1v1, really quick rounds. I mean, that's what I like about it. That's, like, what people loved about that 2v2 mode in Modern Warfare, was that it's just, like, 2 minutes each of every round, or, like, a minute and a half, and you just, it's quick. And then swap sides and just keeps going, so it's super fast. I like that that idea. But yeah, that's it for the news. So let's get one. Have you been playing anything new, Saya?
Just been playing 14, mostly picking away at that, and then I need to finish my time at Portia because I think I'm pretty close to the end of it, or at least like the main, like, story kind of thing. I guess the main like fetch quests and build quests and stuff like that. Because I have like a factory set up, so I figured that's kind of like towards the end game kind of thing, so I want to finish that because I have like 2 weeks to do that before my life is completely consumed.
Now, did they, I saw something about a DLC dress in 14.
A what? Like
a DLC dress. In FF14, at least that's
they
what I
added
saw.
They added Ishtola's new outfit to the Mog Station, and then they removed gender locking from all or most of the outfits that are in the game now, like the glamour outfits.
Oh, nice. So did they? Boy. That means they finally like modeled them to the male, the opposite sex character models.
Yeah, so you can like get the like the wedding dress and stuff like that. If you have a male character with the wedding suit, you can go to a Calamity Salvager and turn it in and get the dress instead. The same for like the there's a couple, I think, of the like summer event items or something like that that are available, and then like the spring dress is available. I don't know if it was everything they removed it from, or it was just like most requested things.
Okay, yeah, because I'm wondering how much work that would take, because I wonder if, like, if it's within the program, you can easily do something where it's like, okay, you know, adjust size, you know, values here, like, if it obviously just skin mapped to the models itself, and then you'd have to go through and look at them and be like, okay, does it look right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're going from, like, the, essentially, like, the giant Galka characters, like, how, obviously, they make it for the Humes and the, I'm blanking on the Elvish characters. I'm just going to call them what they are. You know what they are. But, like, because I'm trying to think the biggest difference in, because the Humes, obviously the male and females character models are pretty close because they're humans. Mm-hmm. And obviously you can adjust your character size when you create them, but you're kind of just adjusting the height of the character, not adjusting the, like, musculature of the character, like in a RPG or something, a standalone RPG. Yeah, because I'd imagine it'd just be tougher for the bigger size discrepancy characters, like the, you know, but yeah, it's good to see though. And like you said, if it's across the most popular stuff, I mean, I guess that's what you want, if it's not on everything.
Yeah, I know they did it for, like, the bunny outfits that you get from the Gold Saucer. They did that a while ago, and then I guess with this recent patch, they just unlocked a whole bunch of them. But the biggest thing was, like, the wedding stuff, being able to, like... Same with, like, if you have a female character and you have the wedding dress, you could go turn it in for the suit if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, like, reverse gender locking. They removed it completely, and then I think, like, the event that's coming out, next, it's like the Little Ladies Day or something like that event. I think people were saying that the glamour items from that event didn't have gender locking on them, so maybe going forward they've figured out a system so that it's not. But I think the I think the Ishtola dress that they just released is gender locked, so I don't know what's going on there, or if that was in the works before they did, like, because obviously Ishtola is a female character. It's just as simple as like making it available as an item in the game rather than like making it a like a armor item or whatever that fits everybody. So they just kind of like make it available rather than just like making it specifically for all genders and races or whatever.
Yeah, like I am still really curious on the back end, like how outfits and stuff model to characters. Like if it's just a simple, okay, if it's, you know, if it's this armor piece and it's on a male character, if it's on the Galka, this values. Obviously, it maps to the values of the size the character chose for their character. And then if it's a Hume, then it's this values. And I wonder how much do the same. Okay, if it's female, you know, these values need to be just obviously for like bust and stuff like that, or to slim the outfit. Like if it could just do a lot of that work on the back end, or how much, like how much fine tuning has to be done by hand on these specific outfits to get them to fit the models, or if it's just an easy like, oh, just the attachment points of the skin layer to go over the character models. Like, it's just, oh, just instead of being, you know, clavicle to navel on the male characters, it'd be like clavicle chest navel, so at least you can compensate for the bust of the female mm-hmm. characters. But yeah, because you figure obviously it's to do that, it must be some form of extra work. I'm just curious how laborious it is. If it's easy, I guess it all just comes down to, again, to game engine.
I imagine a lot of like the hand tweaking probably has a lot to do with like probably the Frothgar, I would say, because even the Rogadin are like, they're just big human-y people, mm-hmm. but the Frothgar have like a specific way that they stand and their proportions are more animalistic and things like that. Or even like, even for like male Mikote, just because they have such a different like default stance and their movements are different and everything like that. But as far as like even the Rogadin, like you're just going from big woman to big man. So it's like
yeah.
Can we get that accent?
But again? There's no female equivalent to the Hrothgar, so they have to model that from scratch, I would imagine.
Yeah. And who are the dragon ones?
The Aura.
Yeah, like they got, don't they have tails as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so like it, going, I imagine like going from a female Aura to male Aura, the size discrepancy is pretty astronomical. So you can't take the female Aura model and put it on a male Aura. You have to like modify the Rogadin model or something like that, because just scaling it up from female, you're going from 5 foot to 7 foot. So.
Yeah. I'm curious. Do they? Because don't they do the thing in FF14? It's been so long since I played, that they did in 11, where basically, like, if you had an armor piece and it was on a male character, if you took that armor piece and put on the female character, it did that traditional female trope thing where, like, it gave him, like, the midriff. Does it do that in 14? Where, like, if I get a body, like, I buy a body piece with some...
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
like...
There's some that are, like, bikini ones.
So there's, like, the biggest thing is, like, there's a lot of armor pieces in the game that have one item, but it's a different appearance depending on whether you put it on male or female. So like when you get an item from a quest or something, like a leg piece, it's one item and it shows up, the little icon shows a pair of pants, but when you put it on your female character, it's just underwear,
right?
So it's like depends on your, it switches depend on your gender, and a lot of the community is like, why? I want pants.
Imagine they get the pantsuit, like the suit, but it's like hot pants and then this half tux top and stuff like that.
That's what it is a lot of the time, because like when I got in the habit of just like trying everything on in the market board, because I, you know, when you go, they introduce new glamour items and stuff like that, and it's like, oh well, I want to make a new glamour, so I'll look through the market board for at the icons for what I want. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, oh, that looks really cute, and I'll try it on my character, and it's like, you know, hot pants and knee-high stockings. I was like, that was pants when I clicked on it.
This isn't what I wanted.
I want the pants. Those look cool.
Yeah, I'm curious if they're going to be doing that then. If it's like, if that's the reason. But if it's, I mean, how many gender locked outfits can there be in the game?
Not there's that many, quite right? a few, but there's quite a few like gender lock items where if you're a male character, you can't even put this item on.
Right.
But then there's also people are also like bringing up the issue of like, well, what are they going to do about the items that are not gender locked but change appearance? Like, are they going to split them into different items, or like, you know, what are they going to do about that?
If it's like a glamour thing, like it'll just have a switch on the icon. Like you go into it, like, oh, these pants, I want them to be pants, or I want them to be the short shorts that they were by default.
Yeah.
Like, but then that would take, I'd imagine, some extra work, because now you got to implement a new system that lets you swap between them. But they've already got glamour, so you figure that's got to be, you know, on the back end, functionality looks like it's there if you can change the way one item looks like another. But now to make it look, you know, they have to work on those models, you know, change up. That'd be interesting.
And they have, like, the slash visor option or whatever. Like, if you have a headgear that covers your face.
Right.
Some of them you can slash visor and it will lift it up, or it'll remove like a piece of it or whatever, but there's only certain items you can do that with.
Right.
So they could do a similar system with that, but then they have to implement that into the UI as like a new button and a new function and things like that, rather than just like potentially splitting the item up and then doing the thing with the Calamity Salvager where it's like, if you have this item, this is now the male gendered item, or, you know, this is now this item. If you want the other one, you don't have to buy it. If you don't want, you can go trade it in.
Yeah.
So it's nice that they're like addressing it and they're trying. And I mean, Yoshida has said a lot of times in interviews where it's come up and he's like, yes, I want to be able to do all of these things. The problem is we also have a lot of other game that we have to make. And I just don't have like a team of people that's only doing this. He's like, if I could have an entire modeling team that just works on like making sure all of the items work on all of the genders and all of the races, that would be ideal.
Yeah.
And same for like the one item that has two different appearances. He's like, well, the problem is now that doubles that item that's available in the game. We need the storage for that kind of stuff. We need the server capacity for that stuff. They want to do it. And then the community is just like, do this. And Yoshida's just like, I'm trying, please.
Give me time.
We're working on it. Give us more money.
Yeah. You gotta sell that dress. And you get, make some money there.
Yeah, if you want the dress, then show them you'll buy the dress, and then when they make it gender locked, unlocked, then you already have it.
Yeah, say yes to the dress. But all right, what about you? What have you been playing besides Outer Worlds?
Well, I can't remember if I got 100% on everything BioShock last time, but I did not.
Yeah, you did.
So BioShock is all done.
Okay.
And all the DLCs all done and all that. And I enjoyed Bariltzi quite a bit. Right now, I'm just playing... Oh my god, I'm playing Outer Worlds and people are sniping me. Right now, I'm playing Outer Worlds because clearly I just didn't get enough of my run-and-gun RPG shooter. And I like it so far. I'm only up to... Well, I'm in the first town, Edgewater.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at the very end of the first main quest in Edgewater where you're repairing your ship, so
right.
We'll see. I'm very curious to see how this game goes afterwards. I've only had to recreate my character twice.
Why'd you recreate your character?
Because I... okay, so...
You didn't like your stats?
No, yeah. The min-max part of me kicked in, and I realized mathematically that it makes far more sense when you're creating your attributes to boost two of them to very high and leave all the other ones at average, because that gives you the greatest amount of skill points. So it gives you like 250 something skill points as opposed to 210 skill points to start. So I had to recreate my character to do that. And then I had to recreate it again to make sure I got the math right, because I started doubting myself. So now we're back to, you know, where I was before. But basically, like, the skill point system just threw me off, and I had to do the math to figure out how to get the best points possible.
Yeah, there's also in that game too, the companions you get have modifiers to specific skills as well. So like, some might be like, oh, you get a 10 point boost to hacking, or 15 point boost to persuasion or stuff like that, or intimidation. So there are also ways that you can, if you want to sprout a little more, that way if you get into a conversation with someone where all the ones that you've stacked aren't an option and there's something else that you know, are weak behind, you can kind of pump some points up into it and then just run with those characters when you get them. Be like, okay, I'm going to go, I'll bring these characters who raise the deficiencies I have in these other areas. But plus, it's like, if you could overdo it early on as well, to where the skill checks in that game might be like 35 for a long time, and then you've already boosted yourself up to like 50 or something. It's like, well, I didn't need to do that. But then just be careful, because
we're already at that point.
Yeah, so that's how I was in the beginning as well, because I went dialogue heavy, and which is super useful.
So I had a really stupid moment with the dialogue in the beginning of the game where it kept saying, like, persuade 5. And some part of me was like, well, there's no way the skill check is actually just 5. It must be like a rating system, like 1 is the easiest and 5 is the hardest or something. And then it registered, no, it really is just a persuade of 5 that's required, or a lie of 1. And I'm like, but that's just like starting stats. Like, you don't need to boost it at all. That's just what you start with. So I had a really dumb moment of realizing that the stats listed there were just starting stats, and I didn't need to like boost it at all. And I could have put it into other categories to start with. And I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of the early stuff is definitely like, if someone was to just spread the points across the board, they're pretty good early on. But then you will hit a point where suddenly you notice that it jumps. And then it's like, oh, if I hadn't invested, then I'd be in trouble. Or it could even be a situation where within the same, like, again, the dialogue tree, because you have, you know, 3 different stats within it, and they all cap at 50, and then you have to individually put points into them.
It's like, that was another thing I had to restart for, is so that I could try to get all of my stats equal there. Yeah. Look, but, it's a problem. I'm aware.
Yeah, I'll be really curious to see how you manage close the end game with some of the bigger stuff, where it's like, especially if they throw something your way that you didn't spec at all, and you're like, oh my god, I could have done this, but I didn't do this one. I didn't go this route. But yeah, it's a fun game. I had a lot of fun with it.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to hear how you played. Like, I definitely want to hear how you resolve stuff. Like, I heard you talking about Edgewater before the podcast, but I would like to hear like things like, especially big decisions you make. Like, I want to know like what you did, and then stuff like, obviously, because there's so many different
options you can do. I already figured out how to resolve the Edgewater thing and know what I'm doing with that.
Okay.
I don't know if it's spoilery to talk about it yet. Has it been out long enough?
I mean, it came out in October. We can wait a bit. We don't need to get into it right now. Maybe next, once you get a couple, because obviously you'll remember exactly how you resolved it, even though it is just Edgewater. But you like did the basically clear, like the best possible solution.
I did?
Yeah, you.
You don't know what my solution is.
I'm assuming the way you made it sound is like you did the best one versus just running up and shooting someone in the head.
Oh yeah, I didn't run up and shoot anyone in the head.
Yeah, but there is a way to like resolve the conflict overall between.
Although I did discover that one of the people has a unique hunting rifle that I want, so I'm gonna have to shoot her in the head.
There you go.
I will have to shoot her in the head because I can't pickpocket it. So she's a goner.
Yep. Like, ooh, you would have lived if you didn't have that gun.
I had the same thing at Fallout before, too, when someone had, like, I can't remember what it was, but, oh, it was that unique, it was in one of the Fallouts, it was unique heavy armor, like the tier below the power armor, but it was, like, the really special heavy armor, something that also gave, like, stat boosts, and I was like, oh, bud, you're gonna die. Like, I'm sorry, I'm killing you.
Sorry you're with the Brotherhood of Steel, but, you gotta go. I need that loot. Yeah, there's a lot of fun choices in that game. Definitely will be a good time. But just that, nothing else. What's on your list after you finish that game?
Good question. I might play Resident Evil 2. Outer I need to finish Outer Wilds still. I might finish Outer Wilds just because I want these two games next to each other in my platinum trophy list so that it confuses people.
There you go.
Specifically for that reason. And then after Outer Wilds, which is kind of a quick game, Neo 2 comes out next month.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that comes out.
Yeah, I Neo 2's on my list. The big thing I want to wait and see is the demo for Neo 2 was like stupid hard. And I enjoyed it, but I'm curious where that falls on the difficulty spectrum of like it. I don't know if I would enjoy an entire game of that because that was less Souls-like and that was more Ninja Gaiden, where it wasn't really based on RPG elements, which is a lot of what I like about the Souls games and why I play them is to like try new things out. In the demo, it was much more, it seemed like there was one correct route to take, and if you didn't build like that, you were fucked, or play like that, you were fucked. So I want to wait for reviews on Neo 2 to see if basically you can play any way you want, or if it's going to be like an impossibly difficult game if you choose one weapon and an impossibly easy one if you choose the other. I just want to see how the balance plays out first.
Yeah.
So I'll probably watch streamers and give it like a week or something for that.
There you go.
And then who knows?
Yep. You got Doom coming out next month as well, and then Resident Evil, so... Although you won't play Resident Evil because you didn't even play 2.
Dude, the last Resident Evil... No, I played 5. I played 4, and then I played... 5 was the co-op one, right? The first co-op one, yeah. I played that with my college roommate, which was enjoyable. I didn't play 6. I need to play 7. Yeah. I got a lot of Resident Evil games to play.
There you go. Yeah, you do. All right. But yeah, I just, like I talked about either the last episode or the episode before, how I was going through all the Frostpunk scenarios that I never did. And then I went back and I played the main scenario and played on hard, which is the second to last highest difficulty. I think Survivor is what they call the highest one. But yeah, I did that. I beat it, but it was like at a point where I got close to the end game section, and it was just like I noticed I forgot to take one resource node, and I'm like, oh my god! Like I was fine without it, but I did have a couple points in the mid game where I was like, I was kind of riding the line on my coal consumption and gathering, and I was like, man, if I had just remembered that there was an additional resource node, would have been fine. But I definitely want to try it again and play it on the hardest difficulty and see if I can manage that. And then outside that, just playing a ton of Apex still. Still really enjoying it. And I said, with my this headset, man, it's like, I don't know. It's like I can hear footsteps like a good distance away, but the sound profile makes them sound so loud, like because I use one of the equalizer settings that basically enhances footsteps. They sound like they're so close, even though they might be like two buildings over. I'm like, there's a dude on my right, and I expect him to be like right around the corner, but it's like he's not. So I gotta like adjust the fact that I have this extreme awareness of footsteps. But it does give you such an advantage in that game. But yeah, that game's still so fun. Definitely looking forward to the event. But yeah, I haven't played anything else really since besides those two. I still need to beat Journey to the Savage Planet. I don't know how far I am in that. Oh, I think it does tell you like how far you are progress-wise when you boot it up, but I haven't booted up recently. But then there's a lot of TV shows that came out recently that I got to start watching, and then all the other games came out, so I don't know if I'll have time to finish it right now, because it'll be Doom. We got to finish that before Resident Evil, and then got to wait for FF. And it's like a lot of stuff. But it'll be a good time. But yeah, that'll pretty much do it for this episode then. Hopefully we'll hear some more game stuff. We talked about last episode how did we talk about last episode? No, because Microsoft released all their stuff this week. That's right. So we'll see if Sony says anything in response to the Microsoft article that came out this week from Phil Spencer. He also had an interview on the AIAS, I think is what it was, the Game Maker's Notebook podcast that's hosted by Ted Price. Phil Spencer was on there, and that was a pretty good interview if you want to listen to that. But yeah, well, next gen should be, you know, give them some more information soon. I mean, we just got a bunch from Xbox. Hopefully we'll get some more, maybe another Wired article again from Sony, but we'll see. Yep. All right, well, that wraps up for this week, so thank you all for tuning and listening. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Josiah, for joining us. Mm-hmm. We'll see you all next time.
Bye!